but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a 0.08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a 0.08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, he's coming to the Pacific Northwest, a tour of the Pacific Northwest. John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News will be in Seattle tonight to see the Huskies play Rutgers. He's heading down the I-5 all the way to Eugene to see Oregon, Indiana tomorrow at Autzen Stadium. I'm making the drive with him, and he's joining us now. You do this every year. You try to pick kind of a swing where you do a Friday, Saturday. Why did you pick this one?
Yeah, no, it helps get two games for the price of one. I usually try to do it when one of the Pacific Northwest schools has got a Friday night game. Last year, I got the Oregon-Michigan State game in, drove to Seattle, and got Huskies against Michigan. So this year, I get the Huskies and Rutgers tonight. And then, you know, I had hoped to get both the Oregon-Indiana and the Oregon State-Wake Forest games in, but it turns out that they're at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I did not expect. I kind of thought the Oregon game would be at 4:30, but the Big Ten and network partners put it at 12:30 right up against the Beavers.
I found that a couple of times this year that Oregon and Oregon State had played that at the same time. And it didn't used to happen when the Pac-12 was a thing, right? The Pac-12 would be more mindful of that. But when you've got, you know, an independent schedule TV partner, and you've got the Big Ten as the other TV partner, you get sort of, you know, everybody thinking for themselves. You were going to do a three banger. Now it's a twofer. Let's start with tonight's game with Rutgers in Seattle to play Washington. Pretty good Rutgers offense, but Washington defense that has been very good.
It has, and Rutgers gave up 38 points at home to Iowa. I mean, nobody's going to confuse Iowa with a Mike Leach offense, right? And they still managed 38 points against Rutgers. I do think the Scarlet Knights, they benefit. They have had 2 weeks to get ready for this long trip. That should help them. But I don't know how they're going to keep up and keep the Huskies out of the end zone. I think Washington's going to kind of score at will.
Yeah, it feels that way. Yeah, I noticed last week, Damon Williams Jr., I think he had 14 or 15 carries. Is that load getting a little too heavy for you in early games? I know you want to do that in games you know you need to win, but do you risk him running the football, running around out there a little too much if you're Jed Fish?
Probably it's something you need to be mindful of. He's not exactly 6'4", 230, but they also got to bank as many wins as they can by any means necessary to a certain degree. And I think that, you know, they're just generally more difficult to stop. If he feels like he can run when the opportunity presents itself and he doesn't feel confined to the pocket, they're just that, you know, a multidimensional offense at that point, because you've got Williams with his arm, Williams with his legs, Jonah Coleman with his legs, and Denzel Boston out catching passes.
Yeah, the Big Ten giving Rutgers the extra time off, traveling across multiple time zones. These were the types of games that you used to jump on in the Pac-12 when you saw somebody playing on a Thursday or a Friday and they had to travel a bit. Any concerns about the travel, or does that extra time off just make it easier for Rutgers to adjust?
I think it might help a little, but there, to me, the travel's a real thing. I've been tracking it for a year and a half now, and teams that travel multiple time zones for Big Ten conference games are 11-23-1 against the spread, right? And you figure with the spread, right, anything in that 45% to 55% is generally normal, right? The spread's geared to make everything 50-50. And yet the teams that have had to travel long distances in the Big Ten are only covering 32% of the time.
Wow.
That tells you that there's something to it, right?
Wake Forest, Oregon State, Saturday. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Washington State and Mississippi. But I want to go to the other game you're at. It'll be this big matchup with Oregon and Indiana tomorrow. Games on CBS at 12:30. Ducks coming off a bye. What do you make of the Penn State loss to UCLA, and how does that factor into how you view Oregon now a couple weeks later?
Yeah, I think you have to reassess Oregon's win in Happy Valley a little bit, right? Because if Penn State were really good, there's no way they would lose to UCLA. So it's still a great win for Oregon, but maybe it's not that good a win. And so is Oregon really elite, or are they just really good? I think we'll find a lot. We'll find out a lot against Indiana, because Indiana's pretty good. So I don't know that the Hoosiers can stay with them the whole time, but I think it's going to tell us a lot about both teams because of that Penn State UCLA game. That was one of those games that kind of makes you rethink all your presumptions about a lot of things.
The Hoosiers and Ducks, ideally the Big Ten would like four teams in the playoff. They'd like to see both those teams get in. What's the best case scenario for the Big Ten, in trying to get four teams in the playoff?
I actually think the best case scenario for the Big Ten would be for Indiana to win a close game at Autzen Stadium. And here's why. Because Oregon's got an easier path down the stretch. They don't play Michigan or Ohio State, and they get the Huskies at home, and they get USC at home. The Huskies on the road, USC at home, right? I think Oregon has fewer potholes left than Indiana does. So if you're the Big Ten, you want as many teams that have 2-1 or 0 losses as possible. And if Oregon wins this game, I think there's a better chance Indiana ends up with 3 losses than if Indiana wins. Oregon, chances of Oregon losing 3 total, I think, is pretty slim. So if I'm the Big Ten, I want Indiana to win this game just from a numbers perspective for the CFP.
Wake Forest at Oregon State, Jake Dickert's return. Nobody's talking about it because everybody's talking about 0-6 Oregon State. Also 12:30 tomorrow on the CW. Is the travel for Wake Forest a burden? Will the Demon Deacons, be a little flat for a game against a winless opponent? Those are my questions. What questions do you have in front of that Wake Forest-Oregon State game?
Yeah, that's a big one. Is what is the motivation here for Wake Forest? It's the middle of their conference season. They just played at Virginia Tech. They go home. They got to turn around and go. I mean, that is a long trip from Winston-Salem to Corvallis, right? And it's not a conference game, and the opponent hasn't won a game. And then next week, you got SMU coming in to Winston-Salem, right? I just think this is a trap game for Wake Forest. I mean, to the extent Wake Forest can have a trap game, right? To me, this has kind of got it. Because what is their motivation? Meanwhile, you got to assume Oregon State's players haven't completely given up yet, and they want to win a game. They've been close the last two games, so maybe they'll break through. I think this is actually a good setup. If all things being equal, neutral field, I think Wake Forest is better. But when you add in just the circumstances and the travel and the non-conference nature of this game for Wake Forest, I think it's actually a good spot for Oregon State.
Love to see Trent Bray get a W so we can talk about something else when he comes on my show besides them being 0-for.
Yeah.
How hard that is when you've covered Bay Area teams that historically have not had a good season here or there. It's just Groundhog Day every day talking about the same stuff, and you're just searching for a little something interesting to talk about. But when you're 0-6, it's a dumpster fire on top of a train wreck. It's lousy.
And then you add in all the issues they got off the field too. Yeah. And yeah, it's hard to find anything sunny to talk about with OSU. There's no doubt.
Washington State's going to Mississippi. This is a 9:45 a.m. game tomorrow on the SEC network. Mississippi is favored by 32.5. Lane Kiffin, likes to run it up. How do you see this for Washington State? I think it's a tough couple weeks for the Cougs.
It is tough. There's no doubt. They go to Virginia the week after, yeah, right? I'm not even sure that they're coming home in between, to be honest. Look, Mississippi's got a, you know, certainly they could win the game by 40 or 50 points, but they also are in a little bit of an interesting spot. Non-conference game right in the middle of SEC play. They have Georgia next week. Mm. So how locked in? And Kiffin's teams have lost games the last few years that you would think they shouldn't really lose, right? They can play down to their competition. I do wonder if a little bit of that will be at hand. I was trying to check when was the last time the Cougs were dogs by 32 points. And I went back, I think it was the 2008 season. They were like 42-point underdogs against USC. That was a great Pete Carroll team, maybe the best defense of the USC dynasty. And I want to say the Cougars were in the middle of the Paul Wolf era, and it was a bad situation. But you got to go more than 15 years since they've been underdogs like this. I actually like their chances to cover that spread. I don't think it'll be at all close in the fourth quarter, but we could see kind of a half-hearted effort by the Rebels.
Now, speaking of USC, they are hosting Michigan, and Sharon Moore came out and said, you know, the game's a sellout at the Coliseum because Michigan's coming. Lincoln Riley said, his comment back was, I don't really care what he says. This is the kind of game we expect Lincoln Riley and USC to lose. Do they get a breakthrough here against Michigan? How do you see that game?
I think that it's going to be tough for the Trojans. I just haven't seen them do the things you need to do to win a game like this. You know, Michigan does have a freshman quarterback, Bryce Underwood, but you know, they've got players, and they're good at the line of scrimmage, and they're tough. USC, not tough, doesn't run the ball when they need to run the ball, makes mistakes that at the bad spots, can't hold fourth quarter leads, all those things. I'm not going to believe USC can win a game like this until I see them win it.
I think you're probably not alone on that. And finally, you got these two Utah-Arizona games where it's Arizona BYU and it's Utah against Arizona State. Which of those two games are you more interested in?
Well, I think they're both really interesting for a lot of reasons. One of them is the backdrop of the Holy War. The Utah-BYU game is next weekend. So both of those teams have kind of got a little bit of a look-ahead situation. I think that ASU at Utah could be the game of the day, like nationally. I just think, you know, it has the potential to be like a 31-30 barn burner, well-played, back-and-forth type deal. To me, that could be the game of the day for sure. I think I like ASU to actually figure out a way to win. They've just got a lot of moxie, and they have played so many close games already. They are not going to be bothered by the environment. They just dealt with the cowbells at Mississippi State. Mm. So I think definitely that's the game of the day, and I like ASU's chances.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I think I said 28-27 or 31-30, something like that, at one point game, really tight. And that's even acknowledging that Sam Leavitt, the Arizona State quarterback, is listed as doubtful. That says a lot about the moxie of Arizona State. I'll take Utah at home in a close one, but Kenny Dillingham, we've seen him do some inspiring things with Arizona State so far. Wilner, thanks for joining us every Friday, and let's have a good ride down to Eugene tomorrow.
Sounds good, my friend. I will see you tomorrow.
All right, thank you. All right, there he goes, John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. You can see my picks at johnconzano.com. Give me your picks as well in the comment section there. Coming up, we're going to lead you right into Mariners, Tigers, Game 5 of the American League Divisional Series. Who's going on to the ALCS? We will find out coming up. We have the game right here on 750 The Game. On that note, we're going to talk some baseball leading into the Mariners, and I'll leave you with some parting thoughts on this great Friday. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Leave it here.